The time is 6:16. The Health, Education, and Welfare Committee is now open. May I have a motion to accept the minutes for the meeting held on February 25th?
Move favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion, I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you. Item number one, PCO-318, Rocky Point, Ordinance to Protect the Rights of Property Owners. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold on May 1st. I'm sorry, April 1st.
Hold till April 1st. Any discussion, questions?
A second the motion to hold to April 1st.
Motion has been made. It's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Second item is PCR-69-18, Resolution to Establish a Bucky Brook Advisory Committee. Councilman Lattiser. Motion is made to hold till April 1st.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 6:17. Health, Education, and Welfare is now closed.
I call the Ordinance Committee at 6:20. First on the docket is approval of minutes from the February 25th meeting.
I move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
First on the docket is PCR-36-19, a resolution creating a commission to review and make recommendations on changes to Chapter 4 of the Warwick Code of Ordinances. This is Councilman Sinapi and Councilman Ricks. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chair. So it's been decades since Chapter 4 of the Code of Ordinances, which relates to animals and fowl, has been visited by this council for any kind of thorough review to make sure that the language is consistent throughout, that it's as readable and accessible to the public as can be, and that it's modern and is simply brought up to the times and really up to the current needs, and make sure that all current practices do reflect what is in the Code of Ordinances, and where there may be discrepancies, make sure that those practices do match what is in the Code of Ordinances, and where the Code of Ordinances needs to be changed to be modernized and otherwise comply with proper practices under state law, so that we do exactly that. This resolution would create a commission to study this issue over the course of 6 months, and the commission would be composed of two members of this city council, as well as three experts, specifically the director of the nonprofit Defenders of Animals, known to many here on the council, known at the state level for so many different ordinances he's worked on around the state, as well as legislation at the state level. And I don't think that anyone here would question his devotion to the cause of helping animals and really the terrific work that he's done on a wide variety of topics, most notably eliminating the use of gas chambers in the euthanizing of animals. And that's also, not to get too off topic, but his work has saved countless animals over the years. We also have on this commission, we would have the director of the Warwick Animal Shelter, certainly a great source of knowledge and someone who has to work within the Code of Ordinances, Chapter 4, day in and day out. We would also have a representative of the Animal Control Division of the Warwick Police on the commission. So the commission would be composed of those five persons. If there are any questions, I would be happy to help answer.
Thank you. And As you indicated, what we're voting on tonight is just creating a commission to review these. No changes, no adoptions of any ordinance are taking place in this legislation that you are proposing tonight. This is just going to create a commission that is going to review, and then you will come forward so people can see exactly what you're looking to look at, looking to review. We can take public comments. But at this time, what we're just looking at, what we're taking up tonight is just to create a commission which will meet and then come back with recommendations to the council, and we will see exactly what you're looking for. But at this time, no changes. This is just creating a commission to review, correct?
Correct. To study the issue and get that expert input on suggested changes, which would then, of course, be reviewed by the committee and by the full council, as well as taking public questions and comments at the time that any changes that are drafted would be put in front of those honorable bodies.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilman, I just want to commend you and Councilman Sinapi for taking on this commission. It's time consuming to do this, and sometimes people think that, you know, it's just a part-time job that we have here as elected officials, and I think we'll all agree it's certainly far from a part-time position. And taking on that additional responsibility and that additional time to do these commissions, this commission, to do all of the groundwork necessary beforehand and come back to this honorable body and have a presentation to the public, I think you deserve the compliment on that.
Thank you.
And it certainly is time consuming, and we look forward to seeing what you have to bring before us. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
We've been moved. Favorable action and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. And that closes the ordinance at 6:26.
Okay. Committee on Public Safety comes to order. The time is 6:28 p.m. First, adoption of minutes from February 25th, 2019.
I make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next, we have PCR 2919, resolution to the Rhode Island Estate Traffic Commission and the State Department of Transportation requesting a no left turn traffic signal on Airport Road at the intersection of Evergreen Avenue. Councilman Howe.
Request to have this withdrawn.
Do we have a motion?
At the request of the sponsor, I make a motion to withdraw.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution is withdrawn. Next, PCR 30-19, resolution relative to installing a no left turn signal on Evergreen Avenue at the intersection of Airport Road. Councilman Howe.
Request to have PCR 30-19 withdrawn.
At the request of the sponsor, make a motion to withdraw PCR 30-19.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
PCR 30-19 stands withdrawn. PCR 32-19, resolution relative to placing stop signs on Evergreen Avenue at the intersection of Pavilion Avenue. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to add amendments. If I could have the council read the amendments.
Councilman Howe provides the following substitute amendments to PCR 32-19. On line 21, following the word pavilion, we're going to insert the word avenue. On line 26, following the word avenue, we're going to insert the following clause, and recommend that traffic traveling in both directions on Evergreen Avenue be prohibited from turning onto Pavilion Avenue. On line 35, After the word avenue, we're going to insert a semicolon and the word and. And then we are going to add the following new be it resolved clauses. Be it further resolved that a, quote, no left turn, end quote, sign be erected on Evergreen Avenue at the intersection of Pavilion Avenue to prohibit motor vehicles traveling north on Evergreen Avenue from turning left onto Pavilion Avenue, semicolon, and. Be it further resolved that a, quote, no right turn, quote, end quote, sign be erected on Evergreen Avenue at the intersection of Pavilion Avenue to prohibit motor vehicles traveling south on Evergreen Avenue from turning right onto Pavilion Avenue.
I believe we have a motion. Is there first any discussion by the committee?
I would just like to add comments to that. Upon further discussing with the legal and the council, as well as the we wanted to make sure we did this and we did this right. This is the wording that was done within the original. Withdrawing the other two was meant to alleviate, to help the businesses, as per discussion in our previous council meeting with the business owners coming in as well as the residents. And with this added in, it actually takes care of this resolution, takes care of the traffic heading and the avoiding the traffic from turning down Pavilion into the community, the residential area. So this is the final cleanup of the from everything and the concerns that were discussed by all parties that were present that day. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I would like to thank you, Councilman Howell, for finally bringing this thing full circle. As a matter of fact, Councilwoman Travis was speaking with me earlier on how long this has been, you know, on somebody's radar, and this problem goes back to the days of Ali Gott. And you put a lot of time into this. You spent a lot of time with your constituents, both the residential and the business community, and you came up with a plan that solves the problem, but yet it solves it to everyone's satisfaction. And I think you did an excellent job. You are providing no disservice to the business community on that street, and you're accommodating the concerns of your residential constituents. And after many, many, many years and various attempts of getting this done, I just want to compliment you on a great job on doing that.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to say that I now have to compliment the councilman or the chairman of the Finance Committee. He's a business owner here in Warwick for 40 years, and he was actually a great part in explaining to me some of the challenges that the small businesses would face. He was good enough to reach out to them and ask the questions, knowing what the small businesses that were here wanted to know. So I got to compliment him, but also I have to thank the Warwick Police Department Traffic Division for taking the literally two years of doing this and coming up with some great ideas and listening to the businesses, listening to the residents, and listening to the recommendations made by many people and putting together a solid plan. So as a whole, it was a great community effort, but definitely I want to thank the chairman and members of this, and thank you, Councilwoman Travis, also for giving us a little bit of the history there, because, again, I know that this is the third time in that area that I asked Councilman Lattiser to come with me, as he is very well known and respected in the business community and given me the great advice. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Looking for a motion, Mr. Chair?
One moment. I would also want to join Councilman Lattiser in commending Councilman Howe's efforts on this, especially when it comes to anything that impacts the status quo. Even if most people will acknowledge that there is a problem, it's always difficult to find a solution that pleases most people, much less when you have unanimity or virtual unanimity on any issue, but especially when it comes to such a long-standing issue such as this. And to be able to reach that doubtless takes countless hours. Do we have, let's see, for an amendment? Motion to amend?
Make a motion to amend PCR 3219 as read into the record by our solicitor.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Favorable action as amended.
Make a motion for favorable action as amended on PCR 32-19.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
We may have been a tad too eager there. Clearing up with our city solicitor, is there any public comment on this item before we vote as a committee? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion for favorable action as amended.
Move favorable action as amended on PCR 32-19.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Fourth item and final item on the agenda for the Committee on Public Safety, PCR 3419, resolution in regards to do not enter 8:15 to 8:45 a.m. and 2:30 to 2:50 p.m. signs on Almy Street, front parking lot, and Gulf Street, rear parking lot at Lippitt School. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is just a house cleaning. The sign has already been up, but it was not passed by this council. So the principal and reached out to me as well as the parents, and they asked me to go ahead and we conducted a traffic study with the Warwick Police Department Traffic Division, and this is we're going to make this sign legal and enforceable now.
And I see that the traffic study report is here. Any other comments by members of the committee? Any comments by members of the city council? Any comments or questions by members of the public? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
Excuse me. In order to make sure that this language is consistent throughout, prior to having a motion for favorable action, I would entertain a motion to amend for the purpose of inserting the AM and PM times respectively in the quote language on the signs themselves. Our council solicitor, upon a motion, would be able to read the same into the resolution to amend.
So do I request as it would be forward amended?
Correct.
Okay.
There wasn't a vote.
Oh, you didn't.
Right.
I request that the solicitor add in online, I don't have the lines on my paper. Where it says recommended do not enter, we insert AM to 8:45 PM. I'm sorry, 8:45 AM, correction, and 2:30 PM to 2:50 PM. I don't have the sign numbers on there.
And to clarify the motion, that would be in both instances of the both instances of the resolution where the exact same language appears. Thank you. I believe we all understand the motion, unless there are any questions by members of this committee, members of the council, Members of the public, hearing none, I would entertain such a motion.
I would, on PCR 34-19, vote for favorable action with amendment. As amended, I'm sorry.
We have a motion to...
I'll second the motion on the amendment.
On the amendment.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion to approve PCR 34-19 as amended.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Excuse me, we'll back up 1 second, similar issue. As to, not to the motion to amend, but the motion to pass for favorable action with the amendment, are there any questions from members of the council or members of the public? Hearing none, if my colleagues would indulge me on making such a motion.
As amended, PCR 34-19 for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That concludes the City Council meeting on the Public Safety Committee at 6:41 p.m.
Okay, it's 6:43, and I am calling the Intergovernmental Committee to begin. The first item on the agenda is the acceptance of minutes from the February 25th meeting.
Move for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The only item on the agenda after that is PCR 3719, a resolution supporting the restoration of public mooring at Goddard State Park. Council President Marula.
I'd move favorable action with an amendment.
Is there anyone else from the council that wishes to be heard? Is there anyone from the committee that has any questions?
So if I could ask one of the committee members to make an amendment to line 42, which is in the part of the now therefore be it resolved. The clerk was directed to forward a copy of the resolution to the director of the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management as an amendment, ask that all Warwick and East Greenwich state senators and representatives be sent a copy of the resolution, and I'd also ask that the town manager of East Greenwich and the city council members of East Greenwich forwarded a copy of this resolution. And just by way of background, as it states in the resolution itself, many years ago, Warwick and East Greenwich shared some public moorings, which, for lack of a better term, are parking spots on the water, if you will. And I think it was about a 12 or 24-hour limit, but it was significant because we had many visitors from not only our constituents that have boats in Warwick or Potawatomi or East Greenwich or the surrounding areas, but the entire bay, and also boats from outside the state of Rhode Island visit our area and our businesses, and for whatever reason, those moorings were taken away by the state moorings. And you'll recall a few years ago we put in blue weight trails around Warwick, which are basically bike paths on the water for kayakers and paddleboarders and a few paddleboard businesses and kayak businesses, rental businesses opened up, and all sorts of boaters that would use these moorings to hang on to go for a swim or to have lunch or dinner or to maybe spend the night and go into town. And the governor had recently requested for Rhode Island DEM to take a look at improving recreational opportunities across the state of Rhode Island. And I could think of no better way in our area when it comes to enjoying our 39 miles of coastline here in Warwick to have those moorings be restored so that members of the public could enjoy a day on the water by tying up to those moorings or an evening. So therefore, that's why I had sponsored the resolution to go up to the General Assembly, our General Assembly, and also to East Greenwich. And so I'd ask somebody to move what I just read it to the record as an amendment.
Mr. President, I have that you want all after the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management, you make it a comma, and then have the Warwick members of the Rhode Island Legislature, comma, East Greenwich Town Manager, comma, East Greenwich Council Members, comma, and the East Greenwich Rhode Island State Legislature members?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, should I make the motion? PCR 37-19, favorable action with amendments.
Okay, so you are asking that we move the president's amendment as stated?
As stated. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now the ordinance itself, I mean the resolution itself. Is there any questions about, any questions from members of the committee concerning the amendment? Any questions of members of the council concerning the amendment? Any questions from members of the public concerning the amendment? Is there any motion?
Move as amended PCR 37-19 for favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting closes at 6:49.
First thing we'll do is the acceptance of the minutes for January 23rd.
Favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second thing is acceptance of the minutes of February 4th. We hear a motion.
Favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Acceptance of the minutes for February 25th.
Favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next item on the agenda is the appointment of Patricia Levesque to the Land Trust Commission. Is Patricia Levesque here? I would like to hold that until March 18th.
Motion to hold on March 18th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Patricia Levesque. Good timing. You're not going to spend much time here tonight.
See, they told me. I was smart on that one.
Tell us something about yourself, where you want to be on this commission.
Okay. I recently moved back to Warwick, being a Warwick resident for most of my life, and I really would like to help the community with any project. Donna had suggested that I could find a place on this land commission, and I also have read quite a bit about it and from former members.
Thank you. I just want to thank you for agreeing to serve. Welcome back to Warwick. And it's very important that we have people that volunteer for these boards and commissions. And this is a good one. I know a couple of people that are on this, and it's a good group. And I know you'll be a big asset. So thank you for volunteering to serve on this.
Thank you.
I would like to join my colleagues in welcoming you and thanking you for agreeing to serve. Sometimes it can be a bit of a thankless job, but it's important work, and I think that you'll find it very rewarding. So thank you for stepping forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to add to it. When I approached Pat, I knew she would be a good person for this, to fill this position, and I look forward to working with her.
Thank you very much, Donna. Same here.
I make a motion to reconsider, because we held this, so a motion to reconsider holding to March 18th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. And I make a motion for favorable action.
Oh, sorry. Question to the public.
Any questions to the public?
Okay.
Here and then, do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank Great. You.
Thank you very much.
Make a motion to reopen the Finance Committee.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I believe Mr. Ferrucci is here. If you would, Mr. Ferrucci, please come to the podium.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for coming to meet with us. So, Mr. Ferrucci, one of the questions that I had was, in closing of the three schools that you closed in the past 8 months, what was the savings realized for that?
We averaged about $1.2 million per building that was closed.
So $3.6
million. Well, we end up repurposing one of the schools to become a preschool, so it's not a full closure. We actually closed out two elementary schools.
So 2.4.
Correct.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Is Mr. Ferrucci stating that even though one school was repurposed, that there was no savings in teachers or other associated costs?
The teachers were repurposed to meet the where the students went. So the predominant savings was the redundancy of principals, librarians, and nurses within the scope of a building.
My question is simple. There was no savings for your testimony is there was no savings for repurposing that building?
There's minimal savings on the pre-K building that was repurposed to, an elementary school that was repurposed to a elementary school.
So the teachers that were in the elementary school that was closed. I realize that you moved people from Drum Rock over to the repurposed building. Okay, I realize that. But now you don't have a functioning elementary school, K through 6.
Correct.
So I would assume that there's savings because you're taking those students and dividing them up into classrooms that currently exist that may not have the maximum number of students in them.
There were some, but the predominance of the teachers were taken to other schools where we created classrooms to accommodate the consolidation.
So you don't have a number on that?
Not specifically, no.
You say some. So there is savings, but you don't know what it is.
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, Mr. Ferrucci, you know, you certainly are really familiar with numbers from the school department, history, et cetera. So would you give us a approximate number of what the savings was for that third school? Because you said we're saving about $1.2 million for the other two, but then, and those teachers went to other schools as well, those students went to other schools, so I'm having a difficult time wrapping my arms around no savings for a third school when we have a similar situation.
My off the top of the head number would be someplace in the neighborhood of maybe $250,000.
$250,000. So conceivably, we could be talking 2.7 to 3 million
yes,
savings between closing
yes.
those schools. Okay.
Yes. I thought the testimony at the budget hearing was the savings was 4.1.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, does that mean you agree with the president's?
I don't have my records in front of me, so I'd have to research that and get back to that if you want that level of specificity.
I think it's important, don't you?
The savings were repurposed into operationalizing the schools, so...
That's why it's important. That's why that's very important, because my next question to you is those savings that... somewhere between $3 and $4 million, was that used to upgrade the facilities?
No.
What was it used for?
It was used for increasing instructional capacity for our students. The long-term plan was to have a middle school model with our sixth graders going to the middle schools, which created a teaming model, and in order to accommodate the numbers of teachers to create a team at the middle school level, ate up most of the saving, or actually was a swap of the savings to create that, as well as the busing that it took to distribute the students to the opening schools. So we increased busing costs, and we increased teaching staff at the middle school level to accommodate the instructional model of middle school teaming.
So are you saying that none of the savings from those closing those three schools, none of those savings, $0, was used for any upgrades to the facilities, to the buildings, interior, exterior, or otherwise?
They weren't specifically targeted. When we created the budget for the current year, we budgeted what we needed for the middle school model. We budgeted what we needed for busing. And we did budget approximately $800,000 for building improvements, which was an elevation from prior years because under the new state regs, the school department had to have at least 1% of their operating budget dedicated to maintaining the building. So we had to increase our building improvements. So it's not a dollar-for-dollar marrying that I could say that we saved here and spent it there.
But some of the monies from closing those schools was used on building upgrades, interior, exterior, whatever. I believe that's what you said. Somewhere's on $800,000 or whatever.
The $800,000 in building and interior, if you attempt to do dollar-for-dollar match, we're looking at about $2 million of new staffing at the middle school model and close to $1 million in busing and $800,000 on that, and we had tuition increases. So there's a host of issues as well as losing $1.6 million in revenue. So it's not a targeted match of dollars is what I'm referring to.
So I had also asked how much was the bond drawdown that the council approved back in the fall of 2018, and the superintendent wasn't sure what the number was. He didn't have it, but our finance director was able to just access that from his phone, so he was able to get that number of $4.1 million. At the last, I'm sorry? Four. Is that what I said? Sorry, $4.4 million. So at the last council meeting, we spoke about And I put out there that sometimes good things come to those that wait. And we're looking at a bond, or you're asking for a bond approval this evening for in excess of $6 million because we get a minimum reimbursement from the state of 35%. What I find particularly concerning is that the savings from closing those schools, some of it, we can't seem to get that number because we don't know and we don't have it with us this evening, was used for building upgrades. And in addition to that, I find it really concerning why the school department didn't wait a very short period of time for spending about $5.2 million on renovations that we could have gotten a 35% return from the state. Had you waited to spend that $4.4 million in the bond that we approved in the fall, had you done it now, in conjunction with your request here, you would have gotten, or we would have gotten, the taxpayers would have received at least a 35% return.
That $4.4 million was under a previous $25 million housing aid support by the state. We have received and will be receiving going forward housing aid on that $4.4 million. Under previous approvals, so there's no lost opportunity here for the community.
How much is that you're going to receive? How much of that housing? What's the percentage of housing aid?
40%.
It's 40%.
40% of that 4.4 is coming back to the community.
So you will be getting a 40% return. When?
As soon as the projects are they were completed this summer, they will start July 1st of 2019.
And the return from the state now. Is that 35% return to us when the bond is approved, or is it at the conclusion of the project?
At the conclusion of the project.
So in this case, it'll be at the conclusion of your project that you have presented to us now for this year?
That's correct. So the target date, to kind of put it together, is releasing the 6.1. We will do the work over the summer of 2019 and into the fall of 2019. At the conclusion of the fiscal year in June 2020, the state will start reimbursing us on July 1st. So the state's working on a fiscal year of July through June. The projects have to be completed in the previous year in order to be qualified, which is the reason why we came before you for just the 6.1. If we came for something more than that, and those projects weren't completed, then we wouldn't be receiving state aid for 2 or 3 years. So we are synchronizing and coordinating the completion of the projects to maximize the return from the state on the housing aid that's been approved.
And you are also requesting X dollars and cents to do projects that you're comfortable you can complete by the end of the summer.
That's correct.
Because we could give you $20 million, and you're not going to get it done for
that's
the end
correct.
Of the summer. We pretty much had that discussion when we were talking about the bond approvals. So the superintendent of schools earlier, he assured this council that the work that you're looking to do over the next 5 years, or I should say have completed within the next 5 years, reflective of the $40 million bond. He spoke to that. What guarantees does this city council have or do we get from the school department that says these, in fact, will be completed in 5 years?
I think you need to look at the process that's been undertaken. There's a cooperative and collaborative building committee made up of school members and city leadership members. We vet the proposed project list and make recommendations to school committee We publicly state what we plan on accomplishing within the cycle of about a 14-month window. School committee vets and challenges the building committee to prove that they can complete those projects. Once the school committee feels comfortable, they will adopt a recommended plan, and then it's the building committee's obligation to achieve those targets. The way we're sequencing it, the release of the funds that we're receiving this evening will pay for architect and design work beginning in September for the summer work of 2020. We should be on the street with our bid documents by Christmas. We'll have contracts in front of the school committee by February of 2020 so that the following summer it will know what our contractual work is. We also have vetted the types of vendors and pre-qualified vendors to determine if they're competent enough to be able to deliver the projects on the tight timelines we're going to do. And if the billing committee feels that they are not capable of achieving those targets, they are not going to participate until they can prove to us that they can meet these challenges. And so the bottom line is we will be coming to you on an annual basis each January, hopefully, so that we can set this up for this each upcoming spring. We'll be able to report what we achieved the previous summer. And we also have a on the website a public document of the approved projects. And once the 6.1 has been released, the public is watching what we're achieving as to when we go out to bid, when we actually authorize contracts, and the completion of the work. But for your purposes as a council, each January we will be able to tell you what we achieved with the previous year, so that if there's any hesitancy, you have that point in time to say we're not happy with the production that took place, and then you could hold it back from us. But I fully expect it to be achieved.
So I guess what we're saying is that the council will be able to create its own guarantee.
Yes.
And its own guarantee is that we got the checkbook. So Mr. Frucci, I have concerns about this and how this is going to roll out. I have concerns with the fact that we find out this evening that the school department has not even gone out for bid yet. And I have concerns that it was said and has been said that if we don't approve this bond this evening, that it's going to be this council's fault if you can't get this work done in time. And that hasn't been said once. It's been said numerous times. And I take offense to that. Because approve or not approve this evening, you folks at this moment have not gone out for bid to get the bid out there for the work that has to be done. So if there's any delays, those delays have nothing to do with this city council. If there's any delays, it has everything to do with the process that the previous school committee either did or didn't do.
Just for clarity, Mr. Lattiser, the voters only approved the bond in November.
I'm well aware of that.
The engagement of the architect did not start until officially after we knew that the bond was approved. The bid documents are on the agenda for the building committee tomorrow. We expect to release the roof and fire alarm bids. It is the reason why we're only doing the minimum amount of volume of work was predicated based on the timelines that you just spoke to. And I feel absolutely confident that the releasing of the bids, the pre-qualification process that we went through, the timelines that the vendors know we're working under, issuing contracts by April 1st of May, that the fire alarms and the roofs will be completed, which is the bulk of our work. And the bulk of the money is the design and the engineering that needs to take place in September and October. So we'll be teed up for the following year. So I'm very confident that we will deliver on the promises being made tonight.
That's all well and good. The point is, the statements and the references that have been made to this city council here and other places is that if we don't approve this bond tonight, if we hold it till next meeting or the meeting after, that it's going to be this council's fault if you don't get this work completed in time. And the reality is, whether we do this tonight or not, you weren't ready to go out for bid until at the very earliest tomorrow. So it had nothing to do with us, whether you get it done or you don't get it done. It has nothing to do with us. The public certainly is going to be able to see this, as you said, on the website. And equally important, every single member on this city council is going to be watching that progress. And as you pointed out so well a few moments ago, if the school department is not able to live up to its commitments to us, if you're not able to get the work done, if it's not done in a timely manner and it's not done on budget, or even better, under budget, then we have a decision to make, as we have a decision to make this evening. The one thing that I am encouraged with is that we have a new school committee. And I'm really encouraged with the fact that we have a new set of eyes looking at things. And I am very confident that the new school committee is going to take a very special interest in overseeing these projects to ensure that they get done on time, they get done with the quality of work that is necessary to do. These three roofs that you're talking about completed will be completed on time, and that the quality of the work is not going to render future leaks going on, et cetera, et cetera. That I do have confidence in. I have confidence in that new school committee. The rest of it, from my perspective, remains to be seen. We all know that this work needs to be done, and we know that it's long overdue. So I guess now it's going to be kind of test driving a new vehicle. So we're going to give it a run for a test drive, assuming this is approved, and we'll see where we end up at the end of that particular drive. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with the chairman that there's absolutely no dispute that these needs repairs in our schools. We need them. I got an email just this week or last week from a coach. They're trying to have practice in the gym, and you know, it was pouring rain, and it's coming in there. We don't want to see anybody get injured. This bond went before the voters. It was overwhelmingly approved. I believe Madam Chairman said 75% that came out there. You've listed the projects that we are going to see move forward. You talked about you have a website that's going to be on there. We're going to be able to see when you come back in a year after or whenever you come back, because again, it was approved for $40 million, but you're coming to us for $6 million. We're going to be able to see the progress. We wanted to do, I believe, roofs, playgrounds, security, fire alarms, and here are the projects. We're going to be able to check them off, see the progress, and see where it's at. Also, very important, of the 6.1 and change million dollars that we're doing, the state is going to reimburse 35% of that. That's what, $2.4 million. I believe this is a very good deal for the city. We really want to stretch this, and getting aid from the state that they're going to partner with us is very important. So I like the fact that we got the website. Here's the projects we're going to do. You're coming for us before. Right now, you're asking for X amount of money, $1 million, and we're going to do these projects. The city council, we can look to see the progress that's going forward. We're going to get 2.4 match from the kickback from the state, which is good for reimbursement, and we're going to be able to see the process. So my position is, okay, this is a new council, new school committee, a new day. I'm confident today that I will be supporting to move forward on this release of these funds today, because I know that we're going to get this state reimbursement. We're going to be able to see the progress that we make, and I'm confident that we'll be able to check those things off, because you'll know right away when you come before us that if it's not completed or whatnot, I'm going to have to take a different position, and I'm sure my colleagues will agree. So that's just my thinking at this time. But no matter what the percentage that we get back from the state or that it's bond money, it's still taxpayer money. And that's why we ask these questions. That's why we take such time to dive into this. That's why I thought it was important that we wait for the finance person to come here to answer these specific questions, because this is too important. It's taxpayer dollars, but bottom line is the health and welfare of our students that are in these schools, our teachers, and our employees. So I don't think that any of us are going to dispute that repairs are needed, but we just want to make sure that the process works, and that's what I'm going to be looking forward looking at as we move forward. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. I'd like our Finance Director, Brian, if you could come up, please, and speak to the fiscal note aspect of this for us.
Certainly. Brian Sylvia, Finance Director. I provided the council with a fiscal note on this bond. Excuse me. Should be noted also, the information provided here is there was a cost run. There were two different runs provided by our financial advisors, Hilltop Securities. What I should note on that is that we're not going to be issuing this until the summer. So this is subject to change. These are estimates at this time. With that being said, the estimates and the interest rates are on the high end. So as we plan for kind of a worst case scenario. So the hope is once we come to actually do this, this is a worst case scenario. But that's a hope. I just wanted to put that out there. The cost run was done in two scenarios. One, a straight shot principal and interest for 20 years. The other scenario was interest only for 2 years and then principal and interest for the final 18. Scenario two, the interest only for the first 2 years was done because the city is going to see significant drop off in debt in 2022. We'll see the retirement of 2011 animal shelter, school, and recreation bonds coming off the books. They will be paid off, and our debt service is going to be going, annual debt service payments will be going down $1.1 million off of what we're paying in the current year. So we're looking to minimize the costs in the years leading up to 2022, which is why we're looking to interest only. Within the current operating budget of the city for 2019, our principal and interest debt payments are $5,968,877. Under scenario two, interest only, our debt principal and interest payments for 2020 would be $6,066,638, an increase of under $100,000 at $97,000. Again, an estimate on the interest rate. That's something that could be lower or obviously could be higher. But if we went straight shot principal and interest over the 20 years, you'd be looking at an increase in next year's budget for principal and interest payments of about $250,000.
Okay. Any questions for Brian from members of the committee? Members of the council?
Yes.
Mr. President?
Brian, you mentioned the payments. I was under the impression that since the bonding would not go out, it would not be included in the 2019-2020 budget. Is that accurate or is it?
That for non-school debt, that would be the case. It's the subsequent year. For school debt, it is the following year. So we'll have debt in 2020.
In next year's budget?
Yes, correct.
Okay. the other issue that I was, that I think Councilman Lattisaw had inquired about was we are getting a 35% reimbursement from the state of Rhode Island, which I understand it to be $2.4 million. We're outlay would be $3.7 million. When would we realize the payment of the $2.4
million? I can't speak to where the $2.4 came from. So the scenario that so in page 3 of what I provided.
So let's just be clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's no confusion here.
Sure.
I wrote down, before Mr. Fucci arrived here, based on the testimony of the school department, that the reimbursement would be, of the 6.1 would be 2.4 million, and that the city would be responsible for 3.7. Are those numbers accurate or are they not?
I didn't do the math on it, but I'm thinking that's based off of the 6.1 million, not including interest. So I'm thinking that there was a math done that it was 6,185,000 at 35% and did it like that and didn't include interest payments. I think that's what was done. That is not the case. No, we get so we would be getting back on the if we a minimum of 35%, we would be getting back. Depending on which scenario we do, whether we do interest only, I'll use the for the sake of the argument, I'll stick with one.
So, we no matter what,
yes,
we have to outlay 6.1.
Correct.
And get reimbursed.
Correct.
Okay, that 6.1, according to the testimony here tonight, is going to be spent within the next 6 months or 8 months, whatever it is.
Correct.
So now the question is, when do you expect to? We've outlaid that money. That I would assume that would mean that the state would cut us a check in reimbursement of 35% of 6.1 million, correct?
Correct.
And when would you expect that to be realized by the city, that reimbursement?
I believe how it's I haven't heard otherwise, but I believe we get that.
Excuse me, Brian.
Yes.
Mr. President, in the bond resolution, it says that at a reimbursement rate of state or state share ratio of not less than 35% at the time of issuance. So my understanding of that means once we issue this bond that we're going to be reimbursed by the state for 35%.
I believe so, yes. So that would be even in the first payment.
Mr. Ferrucci, you want to go to the mic? Is that the
that
deal?
Is correct. The essence is cash flow and timing. The first payment from the state, it will be scheduled for October 2020 for projects completed during the school year 19-20. So if you actually get the cash in August and we're paying principal and interest that first year, you're going to outlay the cash. How the state picks up on it is in the 20th year, you will actually receive one more payment from the state in a year in which you make no principal or interest payments. So there is a catch-up over time. So they're making the commitment to the minimum of 35% of the principal balance. It's just a timing issue.
So
that will take place over the course of the 20 years.
That $2.1 million is paid back over time?
It's going to be aligned with your payment schedule. So if you set up a 20-year bond, their payments will synchronize with our 20-year payment. And so they'll pay a minimum of 35% of your principal that's owed for any given year and the interest owed on that given year. So what happens is you folks will pay the bond off in 20 years. The state's made a commitment to pay you in 20 years, but they're starting a year later than when you make your cash flow. So they will pay you till your last payment, if we're scheduling it the way it is, at 20 years, it'll be August 2039, and the Rhode Island Department of Education will pay you one more payment in the fiscal year 2040.
So my next question is to Brian. If we make an interest-only payment, which I believe you made a representation in the first year, it'd be $97,000.
An increase, yes.
So would the state pick up two-thirds of the $97,000?
It would. The projected debt service payment total would be $205,479.
In the first year?
Correct.
Is that principal and interest or only interest?
That is just interest. We would get RIDE reimbursement of $71,918, and our payment would be the $133,000.
$133,000.
Mm-hmm.
Where would that $97,000 number come in?
Well, we'll get to talk about that at budget time.
Okay.
All right.
So, obviously, it's a big benefit to us, and I think Mr. Frucci's calculation then, or the school department's calculation of $2.4 million included interest over time, or was that number larger reimbursement from the state?
I believe that was just done on just principal.
Okay, because if it was just principal, my calculation of 35% of one point, yeah, is about 2.1.
Right.
So which number is it?
I'm going to say it's again,
exactly $2,164,750, not 2.4 that was testified to earlier.
The minimum 35%, we're currently receiving 38, and there's 5% incentives. So the community is actually faced, under the bonds that were passed recently, an opportunity getting close to 50%. Your bond language says a minimum of 35. We're currently at 38.
So you're expecting, which is obviously very important testimony, okay? You have represented 35% when we talk about it. I realize what our bond says from 2018, the language. But in actuality, that amount of money that we'll be receiving back from the state, and it's important for the public to understand this also, could be closer to 50% match.
That's correct.
Well, that's very important.
We've been saying that.
Okay, I didn't hear that. I just heard 2.4 and 35%. Yep. So that's why I asked the question. Thank you.
Very good question, because I didn't hear it spoken to tonight either. Anybody else hear it? I didn't hear it. But thanks to the prodding of the council president, we did learn it. Mr. Frucci, I have a question also regarding the 40% you had said was going to be coming back to the city on the $4.4 million in that
yes.
previous bond. So that's like $1,540,000. So what's the plan for the $1,540,000? Where's that going? Who's getting it, and what are you doing with it?
That's going to offset the actual debt that the city is currently paying. So if you have a debt payment schedule based on $4.4 million bond that was issued, the city is only paying 2.8 because the state's picking up the other 40%. So it's already embedded in your payment schedules. I would defer to the city finance director at this point.
Brian?
That is correct.
Okay. And what's the what's the intention of the some $2.4 to $3 million savings on the three schools that have been closed going forward? What's the intentions of those savings? What do you plan to do with that?
We've already invested those savings in creating the middle school model that exists at our middle schools for our sixth graders, and on paying the busing contract for transporting the students, so they are reoccurring expenses aligned with the reoccurring savings, and so those funds are already committed for sustaining what we're currently operating this year.
Committed because of the savings of closing those three schools, not as additional revenue expected from the city.
That's correct.
Okay.
The long-term plan had been going back to create all-day K. So when they closed the schools, they created all-day K years ago. And then the second go-around was to create a middle school model, which required a number of teachers. In fact, the school committee debated not closing elementary schools and creating the middle school model. And when they did the cost analysis to create the middle school model, it became very clear they needed to close the schools to garner the savings to create the middle school model. And that's where the savings got swapped. So it went from smaller elementary schools that needed capital improvements, because that's another savings to the community. By taking those schools out of circulation, we didn't have to make millions of dollars in investments in those buildings, so our bond number is actually lower because of that, as well as creating the programming for students. So the funds were turned into programs for students and enhancement in the education programs.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee?
Yes.
Sir.
I had just a follow-up question. It was actually a statement. Mr. Frucci, my It was just a quick question. Could you refresh our recollection when the 2006 bond referendum was first unfrozen by the Avedisian administration? Like what year that was?
I started in Warwick on March 2011, and that coming summer, the summer of 2011, was the first year that capital projects utilizing funds released from that $25 million actually started to take place. So there was about a five-year window.
So I just wanted to make a statement because recently in the press, the previous mayor had made statements about, in particular, the school department or other issues. And some of the councilmen there for a long time. Why did they point out this error? Why did they correct that? So if we're going to play that game, I'm going to make statements because that points the finger at me, Councilwoman Dragon, and Mayor Solomon. I believe I was chair of that committee. We listened from to each school and the desires of each school and the concerns of each school, and we came back up with a wish list that was pared down to $26 million, and it was supported by the administration, and it was supported by the taxpayers when I think it was about 70% voted for it. And then, lo and behold, the Avedisian administration froze those funds, didn't bring it before the council for a vote, for about 5.5 years. So you can imagine what the infrastructure that was already in need of repair, what happens as the water continues to drip through the roof, as the heating systems are not repaired, etc. But no, you know, revisionist history in the press recently about what the council members didn't do. I can tell you what this council member did. He sat on a committee, not only that bond, but the bond before it, and authorized $26 million to only have the Avedisian administration freeze it, and then release it over time so that the last time it was released was in 2018. Some decade, almost decade and a half after it was approved by the citizens of Warwick. The school department finally gets their money. But no, we're going to get blamed for somehow not funding school repairs or improvements. And, you know, I've had it with that, with trying to rewrite history. And especially when I get a call from a constituent saying, gee, the roof's leaking. And I have to explain to them how in 2006, we put money into a bond referendum to repair the roofs and how it didn't get spent, or how there were other projects because of the delays that, you know, the cost of services, and I'm sure Councilman Lattisaw will tell you what's happened to the cost of services and in particular products, not even so much services, in the last year, what roofing materials and siding materials and what type of increases they've seen just in 1 year, never mind six. So the school department doesn't have enough money because conveniently it was frozen. And they couldn't fix what they needed to fix. The other frustrating thing was we had the Station Nightclub fire that required state law changes to school department buildings that ate up a good chunk of those costs, too, that could have gone towards other projects. I can remember we were very excited because we were going to put new facilities up at Tollgate, my alma mater, which included tracks and weight rooms and workout facilities that were going to be able to be used. And I realize you weren't here, Mr. Ferrucci, and I realize that Mr. Thornton wasn't here. I was here. I heard the testimony. I participated in it, only to see it frozen. And now some 12 years later, actually 13 or 14 years later, somehow in the press, the director of the Rhode Island Department of Transportation, the CEO, is somehow blaming council members for not doing their job. So I'm not going to tolerate it. Travis isn't going to tolerate it, nor is Mayor Solomon going to tolerate people rewriting history. It's in the record. It's recorded. Anybody that needs to see our statements and what we talked about over time, they're welcome to take a look at it. And I think that sums up all of my statements on the issue of bonding. I've supported the last two school bond referendums. I will continue that and support this bond referendum. And I look for specific accountings from the school department to alleviate our concerns that what had happened in the past will not happen in the future. I look forward to developing a new working relationship with new school committee members, new council members, a new mayoral administration, and we work forward to get these things accomplished and make our school buildings and school environment a nice place for everybody to go, parents, students, teachers, and staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any further questions? Councilman Ricks.
Question for Finance Director Ferrucci. I recall and refreshed my recollection by looking up some old articles from last May discussing how pink slips were handed out to approximately 72 teachers and staff members. Mm-hmm. How many teachers and staff members were ultimately laid off last year?
I'd have to go back and check. I don't know that information tonight. I'm sorry. Superintendent's informing me that currently there's no one on layoff right now. I'm aware that there was quite a bit of circulation with regards to staff. The layoffs triggered the need for organizationally. So if a sixth grade teacher didn't have the proper credentials to go to middle school modeling, that they ended up sustaining a layoff. If we had people who ended up leaving and they were qualified, they got called back to another job. So I'm being informed that there's no one else on layoff right now, so we've cleared the docket. I don't know if they've all come back to us, if they found jobs in other school districts. That piece I don't know.
All right. If I could get an update on that.
I'd be happy to.
In the near future. Thank you.
Councilman Qualley.
Hello, Mr. Ferrucci. I have a couple of questions. The amount that you're seeking, I prefer to round it up to 6.2 since it's closest to 6.2, and I'd rather be on the conservative side. But my question is, you said that we are currently being reimbursed 35% from the state on our bonding, right?
38. We're at 38.
Did I say 38 or 35?
You said 35.
Okay. Yep. And I know that this bond has a minimum of 35% reimbursement, but currently we're at 38. And then you said that there was a 5% incentive?
There's two specific incentives we believe we may be qualifying for, and we're going to be organizing our projects to take a take advantage of those incentives. So we're hoping to get to a 50% level.
Okay, because when I heard the 5%, I didn't know that there were two. So if you qualify for both of them, then that is obviously 10% on top of, and if you're at 38, that gets you close to the 50%. My question is, of the $6.2 million, I know that you're going to be going out to bid for the architects to do the design work. What, in addition to the architects, is going to happen during the next year?
Okay.
The architect actually was bid 2 years ago. He is under contract to lead us through these projects. What's going out to bid in this spring are the roofs and fire code issues and two playgrounds. We will be doing more roofs and more fire code in the summer of 2020, so the volume is going to be ramped up, which requires us to do the design in beginning in September, because we'll have the funds available to pay the architect to do the designing come September. So we're going out to bid for the roofs and the fire code. Those should be on the street by the end of the week.
Okay. You said you had an architect under contract.
We do.
But he has not begun the work because we have not received the funding in order to be able to do that?
School committee authorized the architect to proceed in November for the limited amount of projects that we had scheduled for 2019 only, with the funding committed to sustain the architect beginning in September. He will then proceed to start the design for the volume of work that we're going to be going after in the summer of 2020.
And this architect, is he the person that the school committee has identified as the architect that they're choosing to manage the entire project throughout the 4 or 5 year period?
Yes, that was the intent. That's correct.
I must have misunderstood when I thought I heard someone say that it was for the design, and I was thinking that there might not. I did hear that there were going to be roofs repaired, but I did not know that there how much construction was going to be done in the next 12 months.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Madam Chair. Yes.
I want to concur with Council President Merola about the situation that he spoke. The voters did approve that in 2006, and we did have a list of, and I wasn't on the committee at the time, but we did have a list of some vital things that we wanted to do. When the money was finally released, we were faced with the consequences of the station fire, and a good part of that money, in fact the majority of that money, went to upgrade fire codes, and some buildings were closed or repurposed so that we didn't have to put the money into upgrading the fire code. For instance, Gorton was repurposed rather than being saved as a school, and so I just wanted to affirm that. And a lot of that money went to places where it wasn't originally dedicated. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So before I call a vote of the committee for a recommendation, I just want to say that I am going to sign on to this. I'm going to sign on to this test drive for this bond. The biggest reason, of course, is because we need to do it. We need to do these repairs. We need to take care of these buildings, and we need to get our students and our teachers in facilities that they deserve and they have the right to expect. I'm more optimistic about signing on to it now than I was 4 or 5 months ago, because we have a new school committee and we have a new mayor in the corner office. And there's no doubt in my mind that the school committee and the mayor are certainly going to keep the thumb on the pulse. They're going to make sure that these costs and renovations and things that need to be completed are done according to the expectations of the council and the commitments that have been made by the school department this evening. And because of that, I will be supporting this. So I need a motion.
Sir. Amendment. I have to make a technical amendment technical amendment to clarify the resolution referenced in Section 9. The amendment on page 2, line 22, after resolution, insert R-18-12.
Councilman, can you repeat that, please?
Sure. This is a technical amendment to clarify the resolution reference in Section 9. So on page 2, line 22, after the word resolution, insert R-18-12.
R-18-12.
So it will now read the declaration of the of official intent to reimburse the city for any reimbursement expenditures as set forth in the City Council Resolution R-18-12, approved on February 5th, 2018, is incorporated by reference in this resolution.
And, Councilman, this is strictly a housekeeping issue, correct?
Correct. It's okay. Just
no substantive changes of any sort, strictly a housekeeping amendment. Okay.
Correct.
Any questions on the proposed amendment? So I need a motion on the amendment first.
Favorable action on the amendment.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second on the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Need a motion to move as amended.
I move favorable action as amended.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Good luck, everyone. Good luck to the school department. Good luck to the school committee. We will certainly be looking forward to nothing but positive reports, positive feedback, and most importantly, the positive accomplishments going forward for our kids, for our teachers, and for our city. Thank you. Having said that, I need a motion to adjourn the finance committee.
Motion to adjourn. Seconded.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Thank you.